So I get to bring the message this morning, which is a bit of an honour and a privilege. Also, it's a bit nerve-wracking, and but if it wasn't for God who downloads something into your heart, you know, it's like you just can't do it without God, can you? He's just the centre of everything. So the message for this morning is what God gave me when Pastor Pete said a couple of weeks ago, or probably about a month ago, start praying because I'm going to be away and I'd like you to bring the word. Is remaining victorious. And as it turns out, this is the last Sunday for 2019. So when God downloaded that title and the message he wanted to bring, I didn't know it was going to be the last Sunday of the year. So as we go into 2020, it's a time, isn't it, of reflection, isn't it? Because we look back at 2019. And I love New Year's, around New Year's Eve, because I sit down, I spend time with God, I look back on 2019 and what's happened in 2019. And there's some great things. There's always great things that God does for us. And there's always challenging things that God does for us. And we've heard a bit today in the prayer room and even from Caitlin and from different people that 2019 was a great year, but there were lots of challenges. And some people are still facing those challenges as they go into 2020, still going through challenging situations and circumstances. So we know it says in Habakkuk in chapter 2 and verse 2, you know, write the vision down. So when I sit down on New Year's and I think about the year that's passed and I reflect on that, I also think about the year to come, and I want to spend time with God knowing what he has in store. And he's not going to reveal all of it, but he will download some things. And I love to write down the goals for the next year or the next 2 years or the next 5 years. And then as I go along in time, I love to tick them off and go, yeah, God, you know, that done. You know, there's often a scripture that I write that goes along with those goals as well. And it's because it says in Habakkuk, you know, if you don't write the vision down, now, people perish without a vision. We need to write it down. We need to go back. We need to read it. And I often go back over the years, like this was 2019, go back to last year and the year before, and look what I had written down. And, you know, a lot of those things God has brought to fruition, and I thank God. It's great. Some are still to come to pass, and that's okay. We go forward into 2020 with waiting on God to bring those things to pass that may come to pass in 2020 or 2021. But it's an exciting time, isn't it? Because it's the end of one year and it's the start of another. And I always find it's very exciting. It's a journey. So what are you expecting in 2020? You know, we serve an awesome God. He's the God of the impossible. He's a God who can restore what the devil has taken. He's a God who heals. He's a God who provides. He can answer all our needs, whatever our needs are. In Isaiah 46 and 11, and it says, and God will do it. You know, the Bible is full of promises that whatever is your need in your life, you can stand on that promise, and you know God will do it. It says it in his Bible. And we know that God is not a liar, that he speaks the truth. So when we were saved, you know, it's just a question. When we were saved, why didn't God just take us then and there and take us to heaven? Because we know that we're in the world but not of the world. And we know that we're just here temporarily and we're going to heaven to live forever with Jesus. Why didn't God just take us when we got saved? And the reason is because God has a job for us to do while we're here on earth. He has a plan and purpose for each and every one of our lives. He wants to work in us and through us. We have a testimony. Every single one of us have a testimony to share with someone. You know, when you go through something and someone else is going through something similar, when you share your testimony, it often gives them hope. It builds them up. So it's really important that no one thinks they don't have a testimony. We all have a testimony. And we also have a mission to share the gospel, to share Jesus with other people. So God doesn't just go, okay, you know, I've got a job for you. He prepares us along the way to do that job. He equips us along the way. He builds us up so that we can do the job that he has, the plan and purpose that he has for us in our life. And it says in Hebrews 13, I'm not putting them up on the screen, but you're welcome to open your Bibles and follow. It's Hebrews 13, 20 to 21. It says, Now may the God of peace strengthen and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out his will while he works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight. So all the while on this journey, God is equipping us, preparing us to overcome challenges, to go through challenges, to share the gospel for whatever plan and purpose he has. And part of that equipping is that trials and obstacles and challenges, they will come our way. It's a preparation. In that preparation, when they're coming our way, God is refining our character. He also readies us for the challenges ahead. He doesn't just go, he doesn't just allow something to come on us without us being equipped and ready to face that challenge. It says in Psalm 32 and verse 8, I, the Lord, will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. That's great, isn't it? So God is with us. He's instructing us. He's counseling us. And in Isaiah 48 and 17, it says, I am the Lord your God who leads you in the way that you should go. So it's no accident we're all here today. It's no accident we're all in Broome. It's no accident that we're placed in the neighbourhoods we are. We have a job to do. You know, we should be praying for our neighbourhood, for our community, for our church, for our pastors. And we know, as I said, God always prepares us in advance because he reveals things. It says in his word, it says in Amos, it says, sure, in Amos 3, verse 7, surely the Lord God will do nothing without revealing his secrets to his servants. God may not reveal everything all at once, but he'll give us glimpses about what's going to happen. Some people have visions, some people have dreams, some people have a prophetic word for someone else. Some people, you feel that peace when you read the word in the Bible. You just, whatever the direction, God tinkers with each one of us. He knows how to speak to each one of us, and he lets us know what's coming in advance. Although he may not give you the whole picture, he does give you like an advance notice in a way that something's going to happen and prepares you, because he doesn't ever allow us to go where his grace cannot keep us. So we are equipped. It also says in, when we look at Daniel, Daniel's a great example of in 2 and 19. He had a vision, and in the vision, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. So Daniel knew, God spoke to him and downloaded what, in that vision, what was going to happen and what the word was. So when we are being prepared in advance for what is going to come. Right now we're being prepared in 2019 for 2020, what's going to come. And in that time our faith is being stretched, our patience is being developed, our doubts faced and overcome, and at the same time our relationship with God deepens. We draw deeper to God because we can only trust in him alone, can't we? He's always there for us. He's such a faithful God. Sometimes we get disappointed because people let us down, or, you know, at home things might be difficult, or in the work situation things might be difficult. But God is faithful. When I was looking back on 2019, I was just thinking of a particular time. There was a few challenge. There were some great times in 2019 for me. Some great times, some great opportunities, and also some great challenges. And one of the challenges happened, well, it was not that long ago, and someone actually in the church gave me a word from God and said, God has something in store for you, this, and I think it's this coming week, and I think it's actually the day, I think it could be Thursday or Friday. I was so excited, because who knows when God wants to bless you, it's just so awesome, isn't it? Oh, what's God got in store for me? Wow. You know, is it going to be this situation's going to turn around, that circumstance, what I'm standing on for here is going to be resolved? Is it going to be a gift? Is it going to be this? I was pretty excited. As the week went by, and you get busy with things during the week, it sort of got pushed to the back of my mind. Anyway, Thursday came, got up, went to work, you know, everything was going fine. Thursday afternoon came. My circumstances changed dramatically. It was one of the worst days of the whole year. There were tears. I hardly slept that night. There was a really difficult situation had arisen that was completely unexpected. Friday morning came, I was like, okay, the weekend's ahead. You know, I've got time to recover, just get through Friday. I haven't had much sleep. Friday came, started off all right. By mid-morning, Friday was terrible. They were the worst days almost of the whole year. So here was I expecting God was going to bless me abundantly. And out of left field, this challenging situation just threw me. And I really just had to laugh after all the tears, the lack of sleep. I just had to laugh and go, God, you've got such a sense of humour. Because, you know, here am I expecting this wonderful blessing and you're telling me really what you're trying to warn me for is this challenge is coming. So I look back and I actually thought, you know what, I probably should have spent some time with God and said, you know, I got busy during the week. You know, what do I need to do to prepare for, you know, this coming week? And I'm sure he would have given me scripture to stand on or whatever. Anyway, God is with us in every situation. So the challenging situation, you know, it came, it went. And when you go through it and you look back, it never seems as big as it did at the time. At the time, it seems this enormous, challenging situation. But God, you know, and a week or so before, I'd said to God, you know, there's some things brewing. And I said, you know, what would you like me to read in the Bible? And he said, read 2 Samuel. So I read 2 Samuel. And I read a chapter a day. And in 2 Samuel chapter 1, it says, this is the chapter where Saul went out to fight an army and Saul was wounded. And he was wounded to the point he couldn't move or walk, but he wasn't dead yet. And behind him were the Philistines and they were closing in fast. And Saul did not want to be captured by the Philistines alive. So he had his sword out and he was trying to kill himself when another Philistine soldier came by. So Saul yelled out to the Philistine soldier, help me. I've got the army on, you know, going to catch me. Can you please just thrust me on my sword to kill me? Because I want to die. So the Philistine soldier did what Saul said and killed him. Then he took his crown and he took his golden bracelet and he took it to David. And David wasn't king then, Saul was king then, and he said, David, I've got some news, Saul is dead, you know. And David said, well, how would you even know that? And he said, because here, I've got his crown, and he was trying to kill himself, he was still alive, and he asked me to thrust the sword through, so I did it. And David was just horrified. You know, Saul had been after David for a long time. Saul had done the wrong thing by David. David knew that he would be king one day, but Saul was king. He had been anointed by God. And David says in Samuel, he said to this Philistine soldier, he said, weren't you afraid to stretch forth your hand against the Lord's anointed? Like, how dare you do that to the Lord? The Lord anointed Saul. And even though Saul had been against David, David knew he was God's anointed and that no one should come against him. And he had the soldier killed because of that. And it was like, I felt God was saying, you know, we're all God's anointed. We're God's anointed. And he doesn't like it when someone comes against us, when someone tries to persecute us or cause trouble. And I was like, I just was like, God, you're amazing. You're saying to me, I'm your anointed, and that anyone who comes against me should be scared because I serve a great God and you're there. And God will turn a circumstance around, change it for my good, because we know in Romans God works everything for our good. So I was like, you know, that was awesome. And as every day I read different chapters in Samuel, it talks about the challenges that David faced. You know, Saul was dead, David became king of Judea, but not of all of Israel at that time. He still faced these enormous challenges. He made mistakes as well, but he faced these challenges, and whatever challenge he faced, you know, God was there. Even if he made a mistake, he repented. God was there. He overcame every challenge. It wasn't easy. It was tough. But God was faithful and he was with him. It also says, another scripture that stood out to me when I was reading 2 Samuel was, David said in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 4, he said, I call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised and I am saved from my enemies. And it was a bit like what Caitlin was saying. When we praise the Lord, when we worship and bring honour to our God, he saves us from our enemies. There's a key in worship, in worshiping God. No matter the circumstance, no matter the challenge, there is a key in worshiping God amidst whatever comes your way. Joyce Meyer says, praising God and worshiping God confuses our enemies. When we praise God in the face of adversity and challenges, it causes confusion to the enemy. We are delivered from the destruction or harm that was planned for us, and we even enter into new levels of joy. How awesome is that? So, I said to God, you know, it would be great just to have some points about remaining victorious in 2020. And so I've got a few points just to share. There are lots more than the points that I have. There are other things that each and every one of you might have. But I've just got 5 points. The first one is that praise, you know. Praising God, no matter the circumstance, can change the circumstance around. So when troubles come, keep praising God. Because even though you don't see what's, you know, in the natural it looks not so good, in the supernatural, God is going to work on your behalf. Number two, don't lose heart. David said in Psalm 27, 13 to 14, what would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? Wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for and hope and expect the Lord. That's such a great psalm, isn't it? In Joshua, when Joshua was told by God to take the Israelites, you know, into Canaan, to take possession of the land, in that first chapter in Joshua, he says to Joshua 3 times in that one chapter, be strong and courageous. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and courageous. So whatever we're going through, be strong and courageous. We have God on our side. The next point is be battle ready. And we know that Pastor Peter has been talking, doing a whole series on battle ready. So it's really just recapping that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against powers and principalities. And we need to remember that sometimes, because it's not the person necessarily who's coming against us. It's not the family member. There's a spiritual force at work. So we need to put on God's armor. We need to pray. Prayer is such an important communion with God. You know, we can cast all our cares upon Him, it says. Bring our cares before Him. Let God know. God knows what we need before we even ask, but He wants us to commune with Him and talk to Him. There's power in corporate prayer. 1 can put 1,000 to flight, 2 can put 10,000. So join with your prayer partner, your husband, your wife, your connect group, and pray in corporate prayer. And praying in the Spirit at all times. That's praying in the tongue, in tongues. So in Jude 20 it says, but you, beloved, build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So praying in the Holy Spirit is another key. We don't know what we're saying. It's a heavenly language between us and God. It bypasses our head and comes straight from our heart. And there's power in that. There's, it says here in Jude, you know, we build ourselves up in our most holy faith when we pray in tongues. And sometimes we get busy and we forget, but we can pray in tongues in the shower. We can do it at work. We don't have to pray out loud. We can do it in the car driving around town. Sometimes we just forget that that's a gift, and to use it is really important. The next point is that we need to stand on the Word. There's a promise in the Word for every situation that you're going through. There's a promise in the Word for every circumstance that you want changed, for every family member that you want saved. Whatever your situation, find the Word in the Bible that that you can stand on for that situation. Our Bible is our guide to life. It's got every answer to everything that we need. Those words are alive and active. So if we're standing for, you know, salvation, if we're standing for our community of Broome, if we're standing, you know, for a change in our job situation, if we're standing because we want increased finances or our business to prosper, whatever it is, the answer is found in the Word, and we can stand on that scripture. And it doesn't mean just stand on it once. Stand on it daily. Get it down into your heart. Feed off it. Eat it. Just speak it out until the circumstance changes. It says in Ezekiel 22 and 30, I sought a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me. You know, that's us. So we can stand in the gap for any situation. It says in Mark 11, 23 and 24, truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For this reason I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted you and you will get it. So prayer and scripture. So important. Isaiah 55, 11. So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void without accomplishing that for which it was set forth. The word is alive and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Proverbs 18 and 21. This is another key. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and whoever indulges in it shall eat the fruit of it, be it death or life. We have to watch our words. So we speak scripture, and we've got to also speak words that are positive. So if your finances aren't going great and you keep saying, oh, I'm always broke, I'm always poor, there's, you know, poor me. It's going out and changing the atmosphere with negative words. Your circumstance probably won't change. We need to speak positive stuff. We need to say, my circumstances are going to change. I believe in 2020 that my finances are going to increase, that my business is going to prosper, that God will save that family member, that my job situation will change, that an opportunity to do this will happen, that whatever it is you're standing on, speak out the word positively. You just have to be a little bit careful who you speak the word to as well, because some people like to sort of, you know, pop a pin in your bubble of, you know, your dream. So it's, you know, just be wise with who you speak it out with. If we want peace in our lives, we stand on a scripture for peace. It's all there in the Bible. Another point is fasting. So we don't always like to talk about fasting, but I know that fasting, a lot of things for me have not changed without prayer and fasting. And God says it in his word, doesn't he? That fasting and prayer go hand in hand, and Jesus fasted and prayed as well. So it might be a time when we come towards the end of the year to sit with God and say, you know, God, you know, do you want me to fast? How do you want me to fast? When do you want me to fast? What reason, what situation? It says in Matthew 17 and 21, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And in Mark 9 and 29, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting. And both those scriptures were talking about a young boy, and the young boy had epilepsy. He would have fits, and he would throw himself. When he had a fit, he would convulse and fall into a fire, and he would get these terrible burns. And the disciples had laid hands on this young boy and prayed for him, but he wasn't healed. And Jesus came along and he healed the young boy. And then the father of the young boy said, but the disciples prayed for him and he wasn't healed. And then you prayed for him and he was healed. And Jesus said, this does not go out but by prayer and fasting. So there is a place for fasting as well if you want to see a change in circumstances. In Isaiah 58 and verse 6, it talks about fasting. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free. Then shall your light break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily. You shall be called repairer of the breach and restorer of streets to dwell in. It's a beautiful verse, isn't it? It's saying, then your healing will break forth. Then you shall be called repairer of the breach. Restoration, that's a promise of restoration in broken relationships. And the last point I had was don't compromise. And just to look at some examples of where people didn't compromise. Again, you know, I love Daniel. Daniel was taken captive from Israel and taken to Babylon. And in Daniel 1:8, he says, Daniel determined in his heart that he would not defile himself by eating the king's rich and dainty food. And, you know, later on in that same chapter, Daniel was elevated to stand before the king, and so were his friends, his three friends, because they said, no, 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 we're not eating the rich food of the king, you know, and then they were elevated. God saw what they did. They didn't compromise. Now, they could have been killed because they said, oh, no, we're not going to eat the king's food. The king could have been insulted because he was providing for them. And then later on, because they didn't, God elevated them to stand before the king. And there's lots of examples in Daniel, but, you know, with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, when King Nebuchadnezzar had built that big, tall idol, which was 90 feet high, and he wanted everyone to bow down whenever a bagpipe or a cymbal was played. Those three men said, no, we're not bowing down. We serve one God, one true God, and we worship him only, and we are not bowing down to this idol. And word came back to King Nebuchadnezzar, and he said to the men, come before me. And they said, because if they didn't bow down, if anyone didn't bow down, the consequence was that they'd be thrown into the fiery furnace. And they said, even if you throw us into the fiery furnace, we shall, you know, our God can deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we are not going to bow down to your idol. We serve one God. And his face was livid. He was furious. So we all know that he turned up the furnace and he threw them in, but they were saved. They didn't compromise at all. And I think that, you know, it's hard, isn't it? Because we're in the world, we're surrounded by people, you know, who go, come on, you know, come out, you know, just have a drink, just party, just this, or, you know, like, sometimes it's hard because it can be very subtle. But God, we serve one God, and God is watching our hearts and our actions, and it's to stand and not compromise is how we stand apart as Christians, isn't it? In Samuel, we'll just look at Samuel. Samuel talks about Saul when he just became king. And Samuel was the prophet at the time, and only Samuel could bring the burnt offering before God. And Saul had gone out to battle with his men before the Philistines, and Samuel had said, I'll be there, wait 7 days, I will give the burnt offering before God, and then, only then, we'll go into battle. But as they were waiting, and the Philistines had lots more chariots and lots more men, the Israelites were getting a little bit fearful, and they started to sneak off. And Saul could see that, and Samuel still hadn't come. So what Saul did was, he decided that to keep the men happy, he was pleasing the men. He was afraid of the men leaving him. He said, bring the burnt offering to me. I'm going to sacrifice it. And he did. And as he did, after he did that, Samuel arrived and said, you foolish man, what have you done? You know, that is so disobedient before God. You know, he compromised. And as a result, Samuel prophesied over him, you will lose your kingdom. And he did. So we see in Daniel, they didn't compromise. They were elevated. You know, we know Daniel became governor. He was appointed governor by King Nebuchadnezzar. And we see with Saul, he had his kingdom taken away because he compromised. So those things are keys to overcoming, remaining victorious when we face challenges as we go into 2020, which is really exciting and going to be a great year. But we also know that as God elevates us, he also brings different challenges our way, prepares us and equips us to face those challenges. And then we're often brought into a new level, a deeper level with God. So just to recap on those, praising God is so important in any circumstance. It's a key to changing that circumstance. Don't lose heart. Be hopeful, expect and wait for the Lord. Be battle ready. And you've all been here when Pastor Pete's been doing that series. Putting on the armour of God, praying in the Spirit. And standing firm, because when we stand firm, having done all, the devil will flee. Stand on the word, find the promise in the word for your circumstance and get it into your heart. Write it up, put it in your journal, just speak it out daily. Speak out positive words over your situation. Fasting, but I'm sure that you can all get with God and ask him about how he would have you fast. You know, that's a personal thing between you and God. And don't compromise.